Our Heavenly Father, we are looking forward to that day when we will see Jesus face to face. Father, I pray that as we study Your Word together today, Lord, I pray that we would hear clearly our need for a Savior. And I pray that we would hear clearly and become convinced of the provision of Jesus Christ to be that Savior. And I pray in this room today that we would see many place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Lord, we give this time to You for Your glory and for Your honor. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, please grab your Bible. We'll be in the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. As you're turning there, I have a booklet here, our 30-day prayer guide for Who's Your One. If you were in Bible study already, you should have gotten this in your class. If you didn't get it today, then you'll get it next week on the 1st. We're beginning on September the 1st, praying for our one. Now, who is your one? Well, I don't know who your one is. You got to figure that out. God's got to show you who that is. But our ones are someone who we don't know if they're saved or not. We don't know if they know Jesus or not. They're not plugged into a church home. They're not necessarily where they need to be with Christ. That is our one. We're wanting them to come to know Jesus. We're wanting them to get plugged into First Baptist Church Forney. And so, during the month of September, we're going to be praying for them. We are going to be inviting them. We're going to be sharing the good news of Jesus with them. And ultimately, we want to invite them to October the 6th, when we have a special day here at our church. And so go ahead and mark that on your calendar. Plan on being here, whether you're invited or not. My one is going to be Mark Warren. No, that's not my one. Mark is saved. He goes to church here. He's plugged in. Don't let your one be somebody in your Sunday school class, all right? Even though you think your teacher needs Jesus, okay? But find you somebody and invite them and bring them. If they say, well, I would like to come to church in September, don't tell them, wait till October. Go ahead and bring them in September, okay? That'll be fine. But here's the deal. Why are we putting all of this emphasis on who's your one? What is the big deal? Is this really an important thing? And I want to answer the question, what is the big deal? And we're going to do that from Matthew chapter 3 and verse 18. I'm going to read this passage. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. The Bible says, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, as we look at this passage, in order to understand what it's saying, we've got to ask three questions about this passage of Scripture. The first question that we must ask is, what does he mean when he says condemned? You saw in there the word condemned used a couple of times. What exactly is he talking about when he uses the word condemned? Now, the word condemned comes from the Greek word krino, which means to judge. And so you could have a judgment, and just the courtroom scene of someone judging a case could be called to judge, this word here. However, in certain contexts, it assumes not only the general idea of judging, but the idea of finding the defendant guilty and then giving the defendant a sentence, therefore the word condemn. So when we hear of someone being condemned, it means that they have been accused, they have been judged, they have been found guilty, and they have been given a sentence. In this context, condemned is the right word. Now, what exactly are we being judged on? What is he talking about here? Well, within the context of Scripture, it is talking about our guilt with regards to sin. If you and I were to be the defendants in the courtroom, and we were accused of being sinners, how would we plead? Let's be honest, we would plead not guilty, all right? Because if we're sinners, we're liars too, okay? We would plead not guilty, but we are guilty. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What that means is we have all broken God's rules. We have all sinned against God. We are all guilty of being sinners. Now, just because you're guilty, that's not really a big bad deal until you consider the sentence that is passed on those who are guilty of sin. Romans 6:23 tells us what that is. It says, for the wages, the payment, the punishment, if you will, of sin is death. Now, what is he talking about when he says death? Well, let me give you a few passages of Scripture that will help us understand that. John writes in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Matthew writes in Matthew 13, verse 50, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark chapter 9 and verse 48. He describes it as where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. You get the idea. When he says the wages of sin is death, he is not talking about you physically dying. He is talking about you dying and going to hell. That's what it's talking about. Now, if the Bible is true when it says all have sinned, and it is true, and if the Bible is true when it says the wages of sin is hell, and it is, then that means that everybody in this room, including this old boy up here preaching, deserves to go to hell. Do y'all follow with me on that at least? Imagine for a minute that we are all in one gigantic airplane, and in fact, this airplane is so large that all of the people who have ever been born in the world and are existing on the world right now and will be born, we are all in this plane. And all of a sudden the plane explodes and we get kicked out of it and now we are all falling to earth. Now friends, we've got a problem, wouldn't you say? We may not be dead yet, but we might as well be. Because we're falling with no help. Once we hit the ground, we will be splat dead. Right now, we're living. And it may be that we're falling for 30 or 40 or 50 years. It may be we fall for a long time and we're having a wonderful time. It may be that we're falling so long that we forget that we're falling. Haven't you seen those skydivers? They look like they're having fun. They're zipping around and flying around and connecting and making things in the sky. They're doing all kinds of things. I had somebody show me earlier a picture of his daughter who paints skydiving. Not paints people skydiving, but paints while she is skydiving, all right? I don't know how that works. But man, so people were falling. Now, Earth is there and it's coming up, but we forget it's there. The same exact thing happens to people here. We are sinners. And we're headed to hell, and we are dead men walking, and we forget sometimes that hell is on its way. But it is. Look back a verse in verse 17. Look what is written there. Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. He didn't send Jesus to condemn us because we're already condemned. We are all sinners, condemned to hell. Now, God looked at that and He did something about it, which brings us to the second question. In this text, it talks about believing in Him. Well, who is the in Him there? And let's take a look and see. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, and we could insert in Him there again, is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Now, who is this only Son of God? And I'm going to give you a softball. Let's see how hard you swing. Who is the only Son of God? Jesus. Good. Y'all got it right in Sunday school and you got it right in here today. It's Jesus. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were falling out of the sky, Jesus died to take our place. While we were still sinners headed to an eternity separated from God, Jesus came, He lived a sinless life, He died on the cross, was raised from the dead, and He did so to take our place so that we don't have to have that debt. Glory, hallelujah, amen. God looked at us and said, they got a problem. They're falling out of the sky. I need to do something. And so when He gave Jesus, what He did was He provided a backpack with a parachute in it for every single person that's ever lived and is on the planet. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just for Forney, Texas. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. When He died on the cross, in effect, He was giving us all a personal parachute. He was providing the way to be saved. Now the third question we want to ask is, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Look back in verse 18. It says, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see believe there three times? Belief is translating the Greek word pistuo. Pistuo does not mean to believe in the facts. It does not mean, well, I agree with that truth. I agree that 2 plus 2 is 4. That's not what pistuo means. Pistuo is translated believe, but it means to trust in or to have faith in. It means beyond simple belief. Now, in this passage, the first two times it's used, it is in the present tense. He who is believing. It's the idea of an ongoing reality. So it says that he who is believing, he is the one who is not condemned. He who is not believing, it's not a practical aspect of their life, then he is the one that is already condemned. Let's put it this way. The one who is trusting Jesus with his life now is the one not condemned. The one not trusting Jesus is condemned already. It doesn't matter what you did once upon a time. The question is, what's happening now? You've heard once saved, always saved, haven't you? That is a farce. It's once saved, always saved if you are really saved. There's a difference there. And so what he's saying here is, if you've genuinely been saved, then there will be a current reality of trusting Christ. Let's put it a different way. Let's say that you are watching these people fall out of the sky, and you want to determine who it is who is presently trusting the parachute to save them, and who those are who is not currently trusting the parachute to save them. How would you know the difference? Help me, how would you know the difference? Those who have the parachute deployed are trusting the parachute. Those who do not are not trusting the parachute. Those who are trusting the parachute are going to be saved. They're going to hit earth, but they're not going to hit it as hard. Amen. Those who have not trusted the parachute, they might be swimming in the air. They might be doing a whole lot of work and a whole lot of business. They'd be nice to people, sweet to people, and do all these things. But they hadn't trusted the parachute. They got a problem. Are y'all following with me on the parachute illustration here? And so we have this idea of this current reality. But then he explains why he said what he said. Look back in the text. Verse 18 again. After he says, whoever believes in him, whoever does not believe is condemned already. He says, because. I am explaining to you why I said what I said. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He's talking about this one that hasn't believed. He doesn't believe presently because he has not believed. Now, this is a perfect tense word. Don't get caught up in that. I'm going to explain it to you, okay? A present tense, let's use the verb hit. A present tense, I am hitting. It is not. Jim, come up here. I want to help me with this illustration, will you? I'm joking. Stay right there. I am hitting, right? Here I am. I am presently engaged in hitting. I am hitting. Now, the perfect tense is a past event that has current ramifications. So, a past event, I have hit. Bam. Let's put it in passive, all right? I have been hit. It was something that took place in the past, but you can still see the black eye that's a residue of that. Something that occurred back here that has evidence today. When it says they have not believed, what he is saying is there has not been a past event where they initiated this belief, and therefore there's not a present reality of them believing. In order to trust the parachute, the one falling must at some point pull the cord. I mean, you could say, I trust that parachute, but if you don't pull the cord, do you really trust it? Help me here. Y'all being quiet. No, you don't trust it. And so what he's getting at is there is a moment in time in which someone has their initial step of believing and placing their faith and trusting Jesus. The reason it's not present now is because that never took place. John writes in chapter 3, in verse 3, I think Miss Alexis read this earlier. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Last time I checked, you were born once physically. And born again, you are born once spiritually. But when those babies are born, the doctor says this baby was born at 7:10 p.m. on this date. There is a moment in time in which you are born again spiritually. And he is saying, the reason they're not following Jesus now, the reason that they're condemned already, is because they have never trusted Christ. You see, with Jesus, it is not innocent until proven guilty. It is guilty until declared innocent. Here's what that means for you, sir. Here's what that means for you, ma'am. Here's what that means for you, young person. If you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you are condemned already and you are headed to hell. Why is Hoosier One important? Because, Dad, if your children have not trusted Christ, I don't care how sweet they are, I don't care how cute they are, I don't care how much you love them, if they've not trusted Christ, they're still in their sin and they're headed to hell. Your neighbor, if they've not trusted Christ, they're headed to hell. Your grandpappy, boy, do we really think that just because somebody dies, they go to a better place? That ain't true, is it? Because some of them going to hell. And that ain't a better place. If granddaddy never gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ before he died, now do you see the urgency of Hoosier One? Now do you see the importance of Hoosier One? Now do you see the reality around you? But do you know what we do? We claim to believe it. What we do and say reflects what we believe. Do y'all believe that? What we do and say reflects what we believe, and what we don't do and don't say reflects what we believe as well. And for some in this room, you would rather your neighbor go to hell than you have to deal with the discomfort of attempting to share the gospel with them. It's urgent. If you're sitting in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to do that here in a moment. And I'm trying to scare you right now. You want to know why? If I didn't know Jesus, if I hadn't given my heart to Christ, I would be nervous to leave this room. I would be nervous to get in that car. I'd be nervous to get on that road, because I am falling out of the sky and I may want to wait to the last minute, but we don't know when the last minute will be. Life is fleeting and it is flying by, and it could be your next step, your next breath, your next heartbeat, and that's it. When are you going to pull the cord? If not now. When are you going to pull it if not now? I make visits pretty much every week. I share the gospel. I've had the privilege of leading two to Christ last Tuesday night, led one to Christ last Sunday and the previous week. The two on Tuesday night, they'd come to church. They may be in here. I hadn't seen them, but they may be in here today. And they checked off on the box on that tear-off. People do that, you know. They check the box. We want to join the church and know how to give our life to Christ. I knocked on the door. He came out. He said, well, neither of us have been saved yet, but we're interested in that. When you put a ball on the tee, son, I'm gonna take a hack now. They both prayed to receive Christ last Tuesday night. God was doing that. I just happened to be there. It was pretty fun. But as I'm visiting, I hear a lot of common things. So here's what I want to share with you right quick. I want to give you a couple things that people say that they think is pulling the cord, but is not. Are you ready? The first one that people say is, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. The Bible says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Even the demons believe. Just because you got a backpack and you believe the backpack is there and you believe the parachute's there does not mean that you have pulled the cord. A second one people say, they say, well, I've been saved. What that means is at Vacation Bible School one day, they raised their hand. They came forward during an invitation. They might have even gotten baptized. They said some time passed. They said, well, I've been saved. And what they're saying is, outwardly, I went through the motions of salvation, but the outward motions of salvation without the inward reality of salvation is false. It's fake. It's not real. You may put the backpack on, but just because you put it on does not mean you have pulled the cord. Another one that people do is they will say, well, I had an emotional moment at church. They came to First Baptist Forney and Mark got up here with his silky voice and started singing. They saw Brett on the bass just jamming out, you know. They heard drums hammering back there. Oh, man, and the lights started flicking around and the smoke came out and a tear fell out of their eye. They say, oh, God is so good and so wonderful. Every now and again, as you're falling out of that sky, you're going to look down and you're going to say, whoa, there's an earth down there coming up at me. I got a problem. I sure am glad that God gave me this backpack. And we take the backpack off and we hug it and we grab onto it and say, oh, this sure is wonderful. I'm sure. Thank you, Jesus, for this backpack. But just because we're crying about the backpack does not mean that we have pulled the cord. There's another one people do. Heard this one recently, another one. They say, oh, well, James, you know, I believe I had that time when I had a crisis in my life. So-and-so died. I lost my job. This thing happened. That thing happened. And I just decided I needed to get back into church. And I needed to go to church and read my Bible and give and start praying. And I needed to do all of those things. Well, don't you think the people falling out of the sky get a scare every once in a while? And they may start singing songs to their backpack. And they may be going to a prayer group where everybody's praying and thanking God for their backpack. And they may give money to the backpack. They're going to start just loving all over that backpack. But friends, that's not the same as pulling the cord. Now, how is it that we pull the cord? You told me some things that it's not. Well, what is it? Well, the Bible says that we are to repent and believe. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart. Where before you were running after your sin, you were trusting yourself, you were saying, I can do it on my own. Now you've come to a realization that you can't do that. You're going to change your mind, and instead of trusting you, you're going to turn by faith and you're going to trust Jesus. Here's how we describe this to our Vacation Bible School kids, and if they can get it, I think we can in here too. Amen? A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God, and you can't save yourself. B, you believe by faith that Jesus is God's Son, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was raised on the third day, and that He can save you. And then C, you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Lord means God, and it means slave owner. So when you confess Him as Lord, you are pledging allegiance to Jesus as the Lord and the Master of your life. So what you're doing is, you're taking your sin, you're taking your life, You're taking your job, you're taking your future, you're taking your salvation, you're taking all of that, all that you are, and you are giving it to Jesus Christ, and He will take that. And no longer are you trusting you, but now you have pulled the cord, and you are trusting Him. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Notice it says, "will be saved." Not could be saved, not might be saved, will be saved. And notice it doesn't just say those in Forney, Texas who call on the name of the Lord. Those who cheer for the Cowboys who call on the name of the Lord. What does it say? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are we included in the word whoever? You better believe it. Jesus came to die on the cross for you, and you have a backpack on, and all you got to do is trust Him enough to pull that cord. If you've not done that, remember, you're still in your sin. You're still headed to hell. That's just the point blank truth of Scripture. So I want to ask you a couple questions. Are you ready? 5 questions, real easy. Would you say that you're a sinner? Do you want to be forgiven of your sin? Do you believe by faith the truths of Jesus Christ? Is there anything in your life you're unwilling to surrender to Christ? And then last, is there any reason why you would not want to trust Jesus today? The Bible says whoever calls out, all I know to do is to pray when we're calling out. So here's what we're going to do. Many in this room have already given their life to Christ, and God bless you. I ask you in a moment when we bow our heads and close our eyes to start praying for those around you. But I've been praying that God would move in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls today. That God would reveal to you your need to give your life to Jesus. And that you would have the faith to say yes. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want to be upfront. There's nothing in these words. It's not abracadabra, hocus pocus, okay? There's nothing in these words. This is an outward calling, an outward expression of what's happening in your heart. Admitting you're a sinner, believing on Jesus, confessing Him as Lord. And we're going to pray together and we're going to call out to Him. And the Bible says, whoever calls the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Are you ready to pull that cord? If you are, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes in a minute. And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in the quietness of your heart as I pray out loud. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Those of you who have already given your life to Christ, you're praying for those around you. Those who are ready, you're going to follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've done wrong. I believe You're the Son of God, that You died on the cross for me, that You were raised on the third day. I surrender my life to You. And in the best way I know how, I will follow You. Will You come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and save me? Thank You for saving me. Amen.